Then uncertainty about their heartburn. Experiences. We're living in an age today of religious experience. And if you want any kind of an experience, you can probably get it. The devil will give it to you. And if that doesn't work, the charismatics will give it to you. You want an experience? It's available. But what about this heartburn? Well, let me tell you, it was a safe heartburn. Because it was a biblical heartburn. It was food for their souls. It was opening up to them to understand this book. And there is an experience in Christianity that thrills the heart and the soul of men and women that believe in the Lord Jesus. But it comes in agreement to what this book offers. And that's what I want for you today.
Thank you for joining with us again on Let the Bible Speak. And we're dealing today with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. He was raised from the dead on the third day. He is a living Savior. And in Luke chapter 24, we read of him meeting with those two men on the road to Emmaus. Let me continue where I left off reading yesterday as we dealt with part one of this message from the pulpit of our church. So let's turn to Luke 24 and to verse 26 as the Lord reasons with these despondent men on the road to Emmaus. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And they thus spake. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. But he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and of an honeycomb. And he took, and did eat before them. This is the record of Luke chapter 24 on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, how he appeared to these men on the road to Emmaus and to his own disciples, convincing them that he was indeed the very Christ risen from the grave, with the marks of Calvary in his hands and side. And today we come to this message on believing the resurrection story.
Kindness sought me, and from sin and shame has brought me up. Alleluia, Jesus ransomed me. Alleluia, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will never tell the story, shouting glory, 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 glory. accepted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me when I knew him, but he sought me and in love divine he ransomed me. Alleluia, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Unceasing, lifted up to me with Christ eternally. I will join the hosts there singing in the anthem ever-ringing tale. The King of love who ransomed me. Alleluia, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting
then thoughts of uncertainty about the fulfillment of Scripture. And the question really here is, why were we so blind? You see what the Lord did with them each time, the two men on the road to Emmaus. He began at Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, and he opened to them the Scriptures. And he went through verses and portions of the Bible showing them that the Messiah would come, die, and reign and rule as the Savior of his people, and he spoke to them out of the Scriptures. These other 11 disciples, he did the same thing with them. And why were they so blind? They have the Bible. But you know, that's the question that every preacher has to ask. Preach to people for years, months, years, half a lifetime, they can't see it. Sunday school teachers that spend months every year teaching those verses and explaining the stories of the Savior's love for sinners. And they grow up into teenagers that rebel. Why is it? And then when God in mercy opens hearts and minds, we have to all ask, why were we so blind? How come we didn't see it? And the Lord dealt with those uncertainties today with the Scriptures. They had uncertainty about their heartburn experiences. We're living in an age today of religious experience. And if you want any kind of an experience, you can probably get it. The devil will give it to you. And if that doesn't work, the charismatics will give it to you. You want an experience? It's available. But what about this heartburn? Well, let me tell you, it was a safe heartburn because it was a biblical heartburn. It was food for their souls. It was opening up to them to understand this book. And there is an experience in Christianity that thrills the heart and the soul of men and women that believe in the Lord Jesus. But it comes in agreement to what this book offers. And that's what I want for you today. If you're saying today, there's nothing in Christianity for me, there's no joy, there's no thrill, let me tell you, you've got the wrong message. Or your heart is closed to it, because those whose hearts are opened, they burn. There's a thrill. There's a blessedness. I wonder today, are you harboring uncertainty? Are you saying, yes, I've come to church every year, Easter Sunday, this is something to do. I know the story. I look at the facts. I know they're there. But within me, there is this suspicion. How did the Lord deal with these people? How do we handle uncertainty about the resurrection? Well, look at verse 39. You will see here that the Lord had the remedy. He was able to deal with these thoughts or suspicions. The living Lord arrives into the midst of the room where they were meeting. He reads their hearts, and note that. He didn't just read their faces and their body language, he knew their thoughts. And that's something that we always need to remember as we think of our Lord. He reads our hearts. He knows the state of unbelief and suspicion that's still lingering and harboring there. Now, this great physician of the soul, he has the remedy for their fears and thoughts. What does he do? In verse 39, he says, "Behold my hands and my feet." He shows them his wounds. Now, this is the resurrected living Lord Jesus. He is now still in a human physical body, but he's clothed. He's clothed. And the parts of his human flesh that are now visible are his hands and feet. We can only assume that he was clothed in a cloak that he was wont to wear. And his hands were visible from the sleeves of the cloak. And his feet were visible from the hem of the cloak. And he said, "Here, look, behold." And he showed them his hands and his feet. And then what did he say? "It is I myself." See, that was the problem. "It is I myself." There was within them this nagging fear or suspicion, in spite of the evidence, couldn't really be him. But it was him. And he came now to address and to handle their fears and suspicions. And he argues with them and he says, "It is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And he allowed them the use of two senses, the sense of sight, to behold, and the sense of touch, to handle. Take his hands. They're real hands with the nail prints in them, the scars of the cross. And they were able to do likewise with his feet. "Handle me and see." This was the way to handle their uncertainty. And you remember how a week later, when Thomas was still the doubting Thomas, he did the same thing with him. He showed him his hands and his feet and his wounded side. And he said, "Thomas, thrust in your hand and see." And doubting Thomas, and in reality, all of these disciples this week earlier had the same kinds of doubts that Thomas had. And Thomas said, "Unless I see, I will not believe." And the Lord showed him his hands, his feet, his side, and he dealt with his doubts and his wrong thoughts. And that's how we give the remedy for unbelief. This is the gospel medicine. In the book of Zechariah, the Old Testament, it was said, "I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they pierced." They shall look upon me whom they pierced. If you're here today and you want to know the answer to your doubts and your suspicions, you are asked to look at his hands and his feet. Now, this just happens to be our communion service Sunday. I can't remember when last we had an Easter Sunday morning that it was also the first Sunday morning of the month, communion Sunday for us. But it so happens that today, Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus, in our congregation, they will take these visible emblems to remind them of the living, crucified Lord Jesus. The blood is spoken of in that red cup. It was real blood that our Lord Jesus shed on that cross. Now, what's in this cup is not blood. It represents, it reminds, it aids our senses to remember the death of our Lord Jesus. The bread, it reminds us of the body of our Lord Jesus. And we are to remember him till he come in this way. And by taking this communion, these emblems of cup and bread, the Lord is saying to us that with these visible signs, we deal with our doubts. We keep our focus upon the hands and the feet and the wounds of our Lord Jesus. And you know what it does? It takes care of doubt. That's how the Spirit of God comes and ministers to us, when we look to the wounds of the Lord Jesus. Just as in the Old Testament, when they were bitten by the serpents, they were told to look upon that pole with the brass serpent on it. And when the people looked to that serpent, they were healed. And for everyone who believes in Jesus, by looking to the cross, by looking to the wounds of the Lord Jesus, there's healing for our fearful hearts and any uncertainties that may creep in. I'm glad, therefore, today that this is our Communion Sunday. And that's why Christians on a regular basis, whether they do it weekly or monthly, some do it quarterly, that on a regular basis we come back to communion to keep our eyes on the crucified Lord Jesus. That's how you deal with doubts. Now, there are some here today and you've never become a Christian, you've never taken communion, you've never had part in these things, and you say, but I have doubts. Well, no wonder. No wonder you have doubts. You don't come to the remedy that the Lord Jesus gives. Indeed, I wonder, are you searching the Scriptures? As obviously these disciples were doing, but they couldn't grasp it all in one go, and the Lord opened to them the Bible. And you're saying today, I am skeptical, I have suspicion, I have fears about all of this, about Christianity and a living Lord Jesus who was dead, put into a tomb, he lived again, he ascended to be with his Father. You need to get your Bible. You see, that's how the Lord settled everything with them. And you'll notice he didn't leave it to experience, to heartburn, or to looking at his hands and feet. You'll notice in verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. You want to deal with your doubts? Come to the Bible. You want to deal with your suspicions and your concerns? Get to what the Lord said in his word. And then verse 45, you'll notice, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. It is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. What was it that convinced these disciples that they were ready to die for this gospel? It wasn't visions. It wasn't dreams. It wasn't some paranormal experience. It was that their Christ fulfilled the Scriptures, the Word of God. And if you want to be convinced, if you really want to deal with your skepticism, you come to this Word and you let this Word settle your doubts. Read the book. Study the Scriptures. And the Lord may in His grace open your heart and your mind to this glorious truth. Now, I believe that Christ is risen today because the Bible says it. The Bible says it. If I go to Jerusalem, I will find a tomb. But I've lived now many years as a Christian, and I've never really seen that tomb. I've had people who have gone there on one of these tours to see the Holy Land, and that's one of the sites. That's a must-see, the empty tomb, and it's there. I've seen pictures and video and all those things. I've never been there myself to look into the tomb. And you ask me, how do you know that he's risen? Well, my answer has to be, this Bible says so. Because this is the Word of God. There is another reason. I've got the heartburn. I've got the heartburn that goes along with the faith. Because the Lord Jesus is real. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. What about you today? You came to church harboring suspicions, fears, wondering, is this really true? You want to deal with them? You want to settle them? Here's how to do it. Come to this Word. Believe. The Lord will save you. Then there's helping others with their uncertainty. If you go to verse 47, you'll notice that these very 11 would become the preachers of this gospel. It says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, and ye are my witnesses. They were to become the helpers of the fears of others. They were to go forth telling the good news that the Lord Jesus saved. And God always uses living witnesses. Those who are saved themselves have got this heartburn in their hearts. They are assured of God's word, and God sends us forth to be living witnesses of these things. In verse 49, they were to go and pray for the Holy Spirit to come. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And of course, that was answered in Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was given, and the Spirit of God convinced multitudes that the Lord Jesus is risen. We need the Holy Spirit's work in the church. Without that, the church will shrivel up. We will lose the victory. And then down in verse 53, the final verse in the chapter, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. What are we to do? We're to worship God continually. And if the church goes down to one, you be that one in your seat, worshiping, praising God continually. Because he's living, he's risen. It's real. It's when people abandon the church and they stay away from the house of God and they no longer show interest in the gospel, then they say, he's still dead. And your empty seat in the church means that in reality, your witness states Christ is dead. But when your seat is filled, you're telling others, this is real. And this is for me. And you deal with those doubts. Now, you came today with doubts, perhaps. Do you still have those doubts? Are you prepared to deny the facts and live and die an unbeliever? Is there a doubting Thomas here today? And you need to put your hands into the nail prints of the Savior. It's all here. Will you believe? You see, if you don't believe, you're saying this Christianity is all a farce. It's empty. And you will be powerless, full of sin. Because if you can't believe in the risen Christ, where's the victory to his cross? And therefore you have no hope. I plead with you today to let the Lord deal with the thoughts of your heart. Get on your knees with an open Bible and say, Lord, open my heart. Open the scriptures and open my heart. I assure you that the Lord of Peter will not cast you away. He will save you. And if I can be of any help, I'm glad to help you. Today or later, you seek the Lord, and may his word live in you.
Be thou exalted forever and ever, God of eternity, the Ancient of Days, wondrous in majesty, so mighty in wisdom, perfect in holiness and worthy of praise. Be thou exalted, thy seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted with harp and with song. In their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen. Be thou exalted, O Son of the Highest, gracious Redeemer, our Savior and King, one with the Father, co-equal in glory, here at thy footstool our homage we bring. Be thou exalted, O Spirit eternal, dwell in our hearts, keep us holy within. Feed us each day with thy heavenly manna, healer of wounded hearts, thy praises we sing. Be thou exalted by seraphs and angels, be thou exalted with harp and with song, saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen. Be thou exalted by seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted with harp and with song, in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.